Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
God is the refuge of each and every one of His children, and He is more present than we can even imagine or think. David had found that God had been so reliable in his past that he knew that he need not fear any future calamity. We pray that you can know this sense of security in today's troubling times. Please open your Bible to Psalm 46 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of Psalms 45 and 46. He poured out his love, his
forgiveness of sin. Psalm 46, Psalm where we see God is our refuge. And once again, notice, to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. And how many times do we find the Psalms connected with music and worship? The redeemed of the Lord are a singing people, a worshiping people. The Bible says that we are to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our heart to the Lord. And I think that it's at times like this when we defy, so to speak, the gloom and the doom and purpose to sing and praise the Lord. The word Alamoth is interpreted by some to suggest a choir of virgins. Others suggest that it was a song that was meant to be sung by soprano or female voices. And so, ladies, sisters, I guess the Lord specifically would want you to sing this song aloud in your praises. And you, brothers, you and I can chime in because we are actually a part of the bride of Christ. The Treasury of David, written by Charles Spurgeon, writes, quote, "It was said that when Martin Luther and the Reformers were threatened with danger for the bold stand that they took against the hellish doctrines and ungodly practices of the Romish Church, that he would turn to his close friend Philip Melanchthon and say, 'Come, Philip, let us sing the 46th Psalm.' In fact, the beautiful hymn, 'A Mighty Fortress Is Our God,' was written by Luther, and it was taken from this psalm." Verse 1, God is, I love that, God is. He simply is. There was no beginning. He's the uncreated one. He's from everlasting to everlasting. God is. Whether you believe it or not, God is. Whether you like it or not, God is. And for those of us who have been born of the Spirit of God, we read here, God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is a very present, or actually ready, help in times of trouble or adversity or a tight spot. I love that. God is your refuge, your strength. The word refuge means a place that provides safety, protection, or a shelter. And God is the refuge for each and every one of you watching this tonight, as truly as when David penned the words of this psalm. The word "very" expresses the idea that the Lord is more present than we can even imagine or think. A very present help, or literally an exceeding or a well-proven help in difficulties. Ever-present help here means a help that has been found to be reliable or proven to be a reliable stronghold in the past, so that any future calamity is no reason to fear. Precious saints, especially those of you tonight who may be going through or who have gone through a time of duress or trial, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus, your refuge, a very present help. Psalm 91, verse 1, this is God's 911, says, "He that dwelleth In the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Say it tonight. Say it tonight. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. In Him I will trust. Deuteronomy 33, 27 says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. God is our refuge. God is our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, because of that, will not we fear. Fear not is the most oft repeated command in Scripture. Why? Because I am prone to fear. I am prone to worry. I am prone to be anxious. And yet we need to realize, beloved, that probably 90 to 95% of the things that happen in our life are not in our control. We can't control the weather. We can't control the stock market. We can't control the decisions that are made by politicians. We cannot control the decisions that other people make. We have very little control. But we do know the one who has ultimate control. And He says, don't fear. Trust me. Abide in me. Walk with me. We will not fear. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof, let the worst come to the worst. The child of God should never give way to mistrust. Since God remains faithful, there can be no danger to His cause or His people. We will not fear. Why? Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 2 and 3 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Notice, when you walk through the waters, through the rivers, through the fire, God promises to be with us always, walking through these times. They're trying. They're difficult. They're annoying. But God is our refuge. God has promised to be with us always. John Wesley preached in Hyde Park on the occasion of the earthquake that was felt in London, March 8, 1750. And he repeated the words of this psalm. And his brother Charles wrote a hymn with the words, quote, how happy then are we who build, O Lord, on Thee. What can our foundation shock? Though the shattered earth remove, stands our city on a rock, on the rock of heavenly love. And at this point, we find the first of the Selahs. To stop and to pause. And just stop, beloved, and pause of what the psalmist has written in those three verses. Stop. Pause. You know, it's amazing. Most of us now have that time on our hands that we always wished that we had. What are we doing with it? Are we just staring at the walls? Don't waste this time. Don't waste this time to draw near to the Lord. He's not contagious. You can draw near to Him. You won't infect Him, and He won't infect you. It is good for you and I to draw near to the Lord. Selah, think of Him. Selah is never when I start thinking of me. Never. Selah is when I think of Him. Oh, how lofty my thoughts change when I think of Him. There is a river, verse 4, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. The great fear of any ancient city in time of war was that the water supply would be cut off during a siege. And if that were secured, the city could hold out against the attacks of the enemy for an indefinite period of time. Now notice, in contrast to the raging environment outside of the city, there is a peaceful river of supply in God's sanctuary that produces gladness and life. Of course, beloved, you and I look forward to the city of God. Revelation 22:1, John says, "He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, God our Father. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1, God the Son. John chapter 4, verse 14, God the Holy Spirit are all referred to as a river. A river. Divine grace and help flows like a river towards you and me, beloved. And that river is what provides refreshment and joy and life, especially at times like this. How comforting it is to know tonight that the Spirit of God, like a river of life, flows continually towards you and I in these perilous times. It has been said, no enemy can cut off this stream from the church of Christ. Drink from the fountain, beloved. Drink from the fountain of the water of life. God is in the midst of her. Who? The city of God. And you and I are the city of God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. I love Hebrews 12:28. What a passage for you and me tonight. Hebrews 12:28 says, "Wherefore we receive in the kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." Beloved, we are citizens of a kingdom that cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God. Let me ask you this. Has the coronavirus stopped you from serving God? Think of it. What can stop us from serving God? We may not be able to do the hands-on things that we normally did, but nothing can stop us from serving God. There's so many ways that we can serve the Lord. Maybe from afar, writing a letter, sending a postcard, sending someone that is a have-not, whether they're someone in the body of Christ or not in the body of Christ, food or something that they may need. If there's ever a time when the church can stand for Christ, what a time it is. I got a report from a friend of mine who pastors a church in Italy. And he was talking about how Samaritan's Purse sent over, I don't know how many doctors and nurses, and set up this camp over there. And yet, it really has begun to touch the Italian people. They're thinking the Catholic Church, with its millions of dollars in that area anyways, had done nothing to help. And here came born-again evangelical believers to help the Italian people. What a witness. What an opportunity for you and I to shine as lights. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. The phrase right early speaks of in due season. In other words, when the help is most needed, or always when need requires. You know, in the ancient Near East, enemies attacked cities usually during the day, usually early in the morning. And here the psalmist says, even during the most dangerous time, the Lord will protect the place where his name dwells. What a security system we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 62, verse 6, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved." Tonight, beloved, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ stand on the promises of God and in the power of God. His power, I will help you. His promise, I will dwell in their midst. Verse 6, "The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. That's an exact picture of the tribulation period as we see in the book of Revelation and all of the minor and major prophets as they speak of that period of time before Christ returns. The moment that God utters his voice of authority, the enemies of God melt in his sight. The moment that God utters his command from on high, the storm we are in has served its purpose and comes to an end. Every storm has an end. Ecclesiastes 3 says, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. 60 times in the four Gospels and in the book of Acts, we find this phrase, and it came to pass. Brothers and sisters, this issue that you and I are dealing with is going to come to pass. This trial that you and I are currently going through is going to come to pass. Jesus is going to bring it to an end. And then what? What have we learned? What have we accomplished? This is the time to sow seeds in our personal lives, seeds in our families, seeds in our neighborhood. The enemy wants us to be preoccupied with what we cannot do. It's really amazing. Now that we have the time that we've asked for, how are we redeeming it? The Lord of hosts is with us and for us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Hebrew, Imeu, part of the name Emmanuel, God is with us. He's with us. The Lord rules the angels, the stars, the elements, the hosts of heaven, the heavens of heavens. They're under his sway. Emmanuel is Jehovah of hosts, and Jacob's God is our high place of defense. Selah, once again, stop and think about that. The Lord of hosts, who is running and ruling the universe, he's with his people. He's with his bride. He's with his sheep. He's with his church. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations, or in the Hebrew, it refers to astonishingly terrific events he has made in the earth. The psalmist here declares the sovereign works of Almighty God in the affairs of planet earth. Charles Spurgeon wrote, quote, in every place where his cause and crown have been disregarded, ruin has surely followed. Sin has been a blight on nations and left their palaces to lie in heaps. Reaping to the wind, sowing the whirlwind. Our eyes were given us for this purpose, to behold the works of the Lord. Psalm 111 verse 2 says, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. Verse 9, he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. In Isaiah chapter 2 verse 4 we read, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. That's the future for you and me who are in Christ Jesus. That is what's going to happen when Christ comes and then sets up his millennial kingdom. And then verse 10, be still. Be still. It's a command. Cease striving. Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The most common interpretation of verse 10 is that when things are overwhelming in our lives, if we will be but still, we would have the reassurance that our God is indeed God. And that is indeed a truth that we need to embrace. But if we look at the verse in the context, it refers to God's dealings with a planet that is in rebellion. Listen to the enlightening comment by Joseph Carlyle. Quote, it is as if the Lord had said, not a word, do not strive nor reply. Whatever you see, hold your peace. Note that I, being God, give no account of any of my matters. Jonathan Edwards wrote these words, quote, "The bare consideration that God is God may well be sufficient to still all objections and oppositions against the divine sovereign dispensations." The Bible says that there is a time coming in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 17, when the loftiness of man shall be bowed down and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Be still. Be still. Beloved, I don't need to tell you. I don't need to tell you. We are being overloaded day and night with statistics of this coronavirus. And again, as I've said before, it's one thing to be informed. But I don't know about you, it's like you can get an overload. And you can hear so much noise. And you can hear so much politicizing of this. And you can hear so much bad news that you begin to get that downcast feeling. The Lord is speaking. Be still. It's not that God does not speak. That's not the issue. He speaks. It's when our minds hear all of the noise and all of the clutter. Tune that off. Open your Bible. Listen to the Bible on your mobile device or something. Just let the Word of God be poured into your heart and into your home. Verse 11, and we will close with this tonight. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. You know, at the end of his life, it was written that John Wesley uttered these words of triumph. Quote, "The best of all is that God is with us." Three times in this psalm, dear ones, we read that God is the refuge of his people. Mark that down and take the comfort that God is with you. The God of Jacob is your refuge. Paul the Apostle, closing here in Romans 8, said this, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for how timely your word is. It's as if the psalmist was writing to us today. For those of us who know you, we look forward to that union with you, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And yet we see all around us nations in perplexity. There's confusion, there's chaos. And Lord, things are ripe for the Antichrist to come on the scene, form that one world government, bring everything together. But we, the church, are not looking for the Antichrist. We're looking to Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ. I pray tonight, Lord, that your Spirit would just give peace and comfort. And where there are those who are dealing with physical symptoms of not only the virus, but other illnesses, Lord, I pray that you would touch them in the name of Jesus, that the healing that is in the name of Jesus would just flow through their bones, through the top of the head to the sole of their feet, that people would be made well. I pray that you would do things in homes and families that, Lord, only a time like this could do. I pray that you would supernaturally supply and multiply every drop of milk, every grain of rice, every loaf of bread for your people. And I pray that you would anoint us by your Spirit to reach out to those that don't know you. And if there's any that are tuned in tonight, I pray that those who are tuned in that don't know Christ as Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them, Lord Jesus, and that they would receive you as their Savior, their God, and their King. Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless
His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward, moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer.
We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you.
Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us at 9:30 on Sunday morning and at 7 p.m. on Wednesday for our regular services. Our address is 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Weather permitting, Sunday morning services will be held in Edmund Lyon Park, right next to our church parking lot. Please bring your own chairs and blankets. Please check our website for any last-minute changes. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.